chapter 3, our reading was from verse 1 to verse 18. Let's look at some passages from the letter just to remember what is the general subject, what is the general theme of the letter to the Galatians. Look at chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 8. أصحاح واحد من غلاطي ومن عدد ستي إلى عدد ثماني. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Another gospel, another thinking, another set of ideas has influenced them, at the very least, and they have moved away from the grace of Christ. I marvel that you have been so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ. Look at chapter 2 and the last two verses, verse 20 and verse 21. Galatians 2, 21. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not make void the grace of God. Notice the emphasis first on faith. I live by faith, and then on grace. Verse 21 of chapter 2, I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Look at chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Look at chapter 6 and verses 13 through 15. أصحاح 6 والعدد 13 إلى 15. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Notice also from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15 and verse 1, Amel Sah Hamstash wa El Adad Wahad. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Ye cannot be saved. So you must undergo circumcision. Remember that this was given in the Old Testament, first given to Abraham and, of course, his children after him, and then it became part of the law. Here were people who were teaching that circumcision is necessary for salvation, that this religious observance, that this ceremonial ordinance, فريضة طقس معين, شيء مطلوب للخلاص, هيك كان عم بيعلموا. Now, the idea that circumcision, or that something like it, some practice or observance, the idea that circumcision is necessary for salvation is not a biblical idea. It is important to understand that it was never biblical. It wasn't what the Bible taught in the Old Testament, and it isn't what the Bible teaches in the New Testament. Salvation has always been by grace and through faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3, part of our reading, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. The message of salvation in the Old Testament and the message of salvation in the New Testament are not different. They are one and the same. The gospel was preached unto Abraham. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Adam and Eve were told that the seed of the woman would come, and that the seed of the woman would be bruised in his heel, and that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, quoted in our passage, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Also in our passage, in verse 8, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. By faith. Excuse me, not verse 8. It is verse 11. In verse 11. The just shall live by faith, which is a quotation from the Old Testament as well, from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 4. The just shall live by faith. In the Old Testament and in the New, in order for a person to be saved, what are some of the things that that person must understand? In the Old Testament and in the New, I must understand that I am a sinner. I must understand that because of my sin, I am under God's judgment. I must understand that I cannot save myself, that works will not help me earn my salvation, that there is no way that I can deserve or merit my salvation, that it must come from God, from His goodness, from His grace, His mercy, His love. I must understand that justice will have its course, that there is no such thing as ignoring wrong which has been done. A price must be paid. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. It is the Lord's grace that He accepts the death of a substitute. He accepts another death in the place of my death. بيقبل موت آخر مكان موتي. The death of a sacrifice instituted by God, given by God. الرب هو يلي أرسل, الرب هو يلي أعطى الذبائح. مبدأ الذبيحة مش آدم وحواء يلي اخترعوه. Adam and Eve were not the ones who invented the concept of a sacrifice. I must believe that God accepts the death of a substitute. Now, lambs, sheep, goats, bulls, all of these are symbolic. They point to a great sacrifice. They point to the one who would come and would bear the sins of all who believe. Remember what Jacob said as he blessed his children. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 18, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. انتظرت خلاصك يا رب. Looking forward to a work that the Lord would do. This is how things were in the Old Testament. Now, with people in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. We look back to a work which the Lord already accomplished. But in one way or the other, we are looking to the Lord to complete our salvation, to offer the great sacrifice, to be the great substitute. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. a verse which says that the death of the Lord Jesus was for the sins of the Old Testament believers, and of course for sins of New Testament believers as well, but Old Testament believers, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament," for the redemption of the transgressions of those, for the redemption of the transgressions which were under the First Testament, that they who are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Galatians chapter 3, and look with me at verse 10 and at some of the verses which follow it. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." The passage speaks of being either under a blessing or under a curse. The bad news is that, naturally speaking, each and every one of us is under a curse. A curse that comes from God. This is not my neighbor who doesn't like me. This is the Lord who is speaking. Now, of course, there's good news. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a curse and there is a blessing. And one thing to keep in mind is that a person will be here or there. It's not night and day at the same time. It's not darkness and light at the same time. It's not being dead and alive at the same time. It's not being well or sick at the same time. One or the other. Naturally speaking, we are under the works of the law. We are under the law. Now, what do we mean by that? I think a good way to understand it, a good way to think about it, is to ask ourselves the following. Are we under the laws of this country? Are we under the laws of Lebanon? Now, someone might say there are no laws in Lebanon, and that's a different discussion. As long as a person is in Lebanon, then they are under the laws of this country. There is an authority, there is a government. Please don't tell me right now there's no government. Again, that's a different discussion. There is an authority, there is a state, there are laws, and we are bound to do them. Now, let's think of things in a different way, or shall we say in a different direction or level. God is the authority. The greatest authority. And God has laws, and we are under his authority and therefore obligated to obey his laws, to follow his commandments. Here and there, people refer to the Ten Commandments, as we do. Maybe it's a good idea to remember what they are. The Lord told the people, Exodus chapter 20, and the commandments were repeated in other places. No other gods before me. Do not make a graven image. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Keep his day as a holy day. Honor your father and your mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. Do not covet. We are bound by these commandments. We are under God's authority. We are under his law. It is our duty to obey. But one of the things which we must remember the true meaning of these commandments. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, Matta Ishaq Khamsi. This is the Lord Jesus explaining the true meaning of the commandments. Not giving new commandments, explaining the true meaning of the commandments which were already given. Thank you very much. Matthew chapter 5, and let's read verse 21 and verse 22. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever kills shall be in danger of the judgment. I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. What does the Bible mean? What does the commandment mean, which says that you will not commit adultery? Again, the Lord Jesus explains the true meaning. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. The commandments clearly reach into men's hearts. The 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet, very clearly has to do with our hearts and the others as well. We are under the law. We are bound by it. But the 10 commandments are not the only expression of God's law. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. تثني إصحاح ستي والعدد خمسي. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Look at Leviticus chapter 19. لوين إصحاح 19 والعدد 18. Leviticus 19 and verse 18, the Bible says, you will not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Some people have the impression that God's commandments always take the form of abstain from something. Don't kill, don't lie, don't steal, don't covet. But even the Ten Commandments do not take this form. Always. And these two commandments that we read recently, sometimes referred to as the two great commandments, they say you will love the Lord your God with all your heart. You will love your neighbor as yourself. So God does not just say don't. God also says do. And there are sins of the form, sometimes called sins of commission, خطايا الاقتراف. The Bible tells me not to steal, I go ahead and steal. There are other sins, sometimes they're called sins of omission, خطايا الحذف is a tabir, where the Bible tells me to love God with all my heart, and I don't do it. Love my neighbor as myself, and I don't do it either. To him who knows to do good and does it not. الذي يعرف أن يعمل صلاحا ولا يعمل فلهذا تحسب له خطية. To him it is sin. Going back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. As many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Notice that the Bible says in this verse that we are under obligation to do all the things that are commanded by the law. All the things, not just to talk about them. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read a part of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Specifically, we read verse 5. But if you go on from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, there are verses that are sometimes referred to. This word, these words, this is Deuteronomy 6:6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you'll teach them diligently to your children, and you'll talk of them when you go out and when you go in and when you get up and when you sit down and so on. And those are interesting verses, important verses, and somehow we refer to them. We refer to them here and there. Look at the verses at the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Somehow we refer to those verses less often. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and beginning with verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou might fear the Lord thy God to keep all the statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, so that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land which flows with milk and honey. The verses from 6 to 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says that you'll teach this and you'll speak of it, somehow, I think we quote them more than the verses at the beginning, which say that you are to do these things. You are to do these things which you are commanded to do. Going back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things that are written in the book of the law. There must be, there is required to be, this is what God expects from each person, this is what each person owes to God, a continual doing of his commandments. From time to time in Lebanon, the government wants to do something that's actually against the Constitution. So what do? Sometimes they amend the Constitution. Sometimes they suspend the Constitution. And in certain cases, they just completely ignore their own Constitution. And they do whatever they like. Suppose I were to tell you, here we are, not far from the beginning of a new month. Suppose I were to tell you that on October 1, you could kill anyone you like and God wouldn't mind. That somehow it was an exceptional day. That somehow it was different from any other day. A window, an exemption of some kind. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 10 that if you keep the whole law and you offend once, then you are guilty of all. You are guilty before God. What we want to do is we want to say something like, but I only took one bite out of that fruit. God didn't say to Adam and Eve that you have to eat every single fruit on the tree, that you have to munch the leaves as well, that you have to eat the branches, and that you have to eat even the wood so that nothing is left of it, and then I'll consider it to be sinful. Remember the fire that came down from heaven on the altar that Elijah built? What did it do? It burnt up the sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the water. So you have to eat the whole tree. Otherwise, fia o mafia. In the day that you eat of the tree, you have sinned. There are no exemptions. There are no excuses. There are no indulgences. Sukuk al-ghufran. Sin, and that's okay because there is some other way. This applies to who? This applies to everyone. Again, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Cursed is everyone. The Old Testament says that God is no respecter of persons. This statement is repeated in the New Testament. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. There is no respect of persons with God. Colossians 3:25. The one who does wrong will receive for the wrong which he has done. There is no respect of persons with God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17, there is no respect of persons with God. There's this old story that people tell regarding this country of the policeman who came to a man who had just parked his car. And the policeman came to him and very kindly asked him, "Are you related to the president?" And the man said, "No." "Prime minister?" "No." "One of the ministers in the government, friend of yours?" "No." "Member of parliament?" "No." And then the policeman told him, "Then why are you parking here?" "Let's talk with phony." With God, there is no respect of persons. No fair-haired children. Mafi ibn mudallal. Amos chapter 3 and verse 2. Amos sah tlati wal adat nain. "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. I have known you in a special way. I will punish you for your iniquities. Others would be punished as well. But the idea that sometimes people have is the ones you know, the ones who you're close to, the ones who you have contact with, acquaintance, friendship, knowledge, all right, those have a different standard. I have known you among all the families of the earth. I will punish you for your sins." 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, "For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, then what shall be the end of them who obey not the gospel of God? For if the righteous scarcely be saved," the righteous, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. "If the righteous scarcely shall be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Everyone without exception, all souls are his. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, "Behold, all souls are mine." كل النفوس لي, the soul of the father and the soul of the son, نفس الأب ونفس الابن. والنفس التي تخطئ تموت. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride, despite the opportunities that he had to know about the Lord and to believe and trust in him. The Lord brought him down. The Lord brought him down. And then Belshazzar after him, lifted up with pride. And what did the Lord do? The Lord declared judgment upon him. Daniel told him, "You know about all the things that happened with Nebuchadnezzar, your father. You are not being treated differently. You've lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You've brought forth the vessels taken from the temple. You've used them in your drunken feast to praise the pagan gods. And the God in whose hand your breath is, and whose are all your ways, الذي بيده نسمتك وكل طرقك, the God in whose hand your breath is, and whose are all thy ways, you have not glorified." Everyone. Revelation chapter 20, when it speaks of the last judgment, the great white throne judgment, it says, "I saw the dead, small and great, all of them, stand before God. The ones who died on the land and the ones who died in the sea. I saw them all stand before God." We are under condemnation right now. It's not a matter of we will be condemned. It's not a matter of something that will happen later on. Psalm 107 and verse 10 says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound by our sins, transgressors of God's laws, each and every one without exception. Spiritually speaking, I might be sitting in a nice chair, comfortable couch, recliner. Spiritually speaking, I'm on my deathbed. Ala firash al-maut. Naturally. This is the way the natural man is. The Bible says, dead in sins and trespasses. Mayyit fi adhunub al-khataya. Isaiah chapter 1 says, sick from where? From the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. Min al-ras ila al-ijr darbi wahdi. Darbi wahdi lam tu'alaj. He that believes not is condemned already. Is condemned already. As it is written, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. We are condemned already. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. Cursed is he that confirms not all the words of the law to do them. So, it's not Paul who's coming up with it. This is God's word which is speaking. Romans chapter 3 tells us of the sinful condition of man. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None who understands, none who seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever things the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that the whole world, and that the whole world may become guilty before God. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. I want to do things. I want to go places. Visit this special holy place. Observe this special holy day. Participate in some religious ceremonies, some rites and rituals. Be kind to people here and there in certain ways. This will justify me. No, no, no. The Old Testament says, the just shall live by faith. And therefore, the just will not live by his works. The works are not the way of salvation. And therefore, these things, which I just mentioned, they are useless in terms of obtaining God's favor. In terms of receiving God's favor. Works will not save. Great White Throne Judgment, العرش الأبيض العظيم والدينوني الأخيرة. The Bible says that the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books according to their works. دينوا بحسب المكتوب في الأسفار بحسب أعمالهم. شو كانت النتيجة؟ They were cast into the lake of fire. طرحوا في بحيرة النار والكبريت. The works of the law, the works of man, these do not lead us to salvation. These do not lead us to forgiveness of sins. These do not lead us to God's favor. These do not lead us to eternal life. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. What did the Lord Jesus do? Isaiah chapter 53, one of the places that speaks so very clearly. He has borne our griefs. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. He has carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The same chapter says that he made his soul an offering for sin. The same chapter says that he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The same chapter says that he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. What is the way of salvation? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Huwa dahama Allah alladhi yarfa khatiyat al-alam. You can be baptized so many times that you can, I don't know what, start breathing underwater. If you can participate in ceremonies. You can come to church all you want. You can do everything that you can think of and more. The Bible says that our works of righteousness, the good things that we do, are like filthy rags in God's sight. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He is the one who bore our sins. When I say that I'm saved by my works, one way to understand how this is wrong, there is Christ who died on the cross. God says, that work, that's enough. That's enough. I say, my little work over here is enough. What am I doing? I'm saying that what I do is of the same level as Christ dying on the cross. But it could never be of the same level. It could never come close. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark the night which the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep which was lost. There is no way that I can put my works on the same level as what Christ did. No way. No way. Christ is the only way. You are bought with a price. He was made to be sin, so you could be made the righteousness of God in him. He was made to be a curse when he, by nature, was an object of blessing, and we were under a curse, and so he took our place so that we could take his place. As it is written as well, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This is Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 23. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus was crucified by the Romans, and it's not like Pontius Pilate was looking up verses in Deuteronomy and saying, let me put Christ to death in such a way that he was put to death, of course, in a very direct sense by the Romans, but in such a way that what was said in the Old Testament applied. Cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. All of this happened for what purpose? Look at verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If you go back to the first part of the chapter, Galatians chapter 3, you will see that the Bible mentions Abraham being justified by faith. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Then it mentions the blessing of Abraham, verses 8 and 9. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So first there is mention of him being justified. Then there is mention of a blessing. And then there is mention of a promise. So, as we are justified by faith, like Abraham was, what comes to us? The same things that came to Abraham: blessing and promise. Blessing and promise come our way. These are to be received how? Through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, how? Through faith. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me and liveth shall never die. And then he said, believest thou this? Do you believe this? And then, not a long time after, what did he say, standing before the tomb of Lazarus? He said, take away the stone. And Martha spoke up again, and she said, Lord, it's been 4 days. He stinks. And the Lord Jesus told her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And when he had thus spoken, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us. This is according to the Old Testament scriptures. And this opens the door for us to receive blessing and promise from God, from His Spirit, through faith. If we know all these things, then the Lord Jesus is our Savior, and He deserves our praise. He deserves our love. He deserves our obedience. He deserves that we live for Him in this world. He deserves that we make Him known unto others. All these things are things that He deserves. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits? I will take the cup of salvation, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. ماذا أرد للرب من أجل كل أحساناته إلي؟ كأس الخلاص أخذ وباسم الرب وباسم الرب أدع. And once again we say, there is no other way. People say, all roads lead to God. No, they don't. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says there's one way. There is a straight and narrow way that takes us to the cross, that takes us to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one and only one way. There is the blood of Christ, no other blood. There is the cross of Christ, His suffering, His death, no other Savior. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Works will get us nowhere. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace, Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to us in this way, telling us of the terrible situation which we are in. Many do not recognize it. Many do not realize it. Many think that they are fine. But this is self-deception. You are the one who searches the hearts, who knows the hearts, who knows things as they are. And so You speak to us and tell us that there is a curse associated with sin. There is a curse which comes upon us, each and every one, because we do not continue in all the works of the law to do them, because we violate Your commands, because we break Your laws, because we disobey Your authority. And this leads inevitably to judgment, but Christ has come to take that curse from us, to redeem us with his own blood, to wash us from our sins, to cleanse us, to bring us unto you, to make us accepted before you, to bring us mercy and grace and truth, to bring us forgiveness of sins and eternal life, to bring us blessings and God's promises. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, the hearts of any who do not know you as Savior, that you'd help them to see that this is the way, the only way. And for those who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, help us to be filled with gratitude. Help us to praise and honor your name. Help us to lift up that name, to live for you, to love you, to make your name known among all those around us, so that perhaps by your power they would come and they would know and they would live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.